This is Fresh Air. There's nothing a certain type of record collector likes better than finding a stack of 78s on the Paramount label. Between 1917 and 1932, the label, which was one of several run by a Wisconsin furniture company, released thousands of records. But its real accomplishment was recording some of the greatest early blues and jazz performers. Jack White's Third Man Records has joined with the reissue company Revenant to release the first of two packages documenting the Paramount label. Volume 1 includes a USB drive with 800 songs from Paramount's first 10 years, 6 vinyl recordings, as well as several books and a collection of graphics. They're all contained in a handcrafted oak box. Rock historian Ed Ward has a review.
In 1917, somebody at the Wisconsin Chair Company in Port Washington, Wisconsin, had a brilliant idea. The new Victrolas appearing on the market were not only engineering feats, but also fine furniture, so they started making them. What was lacking was enough recorded music at a reasonable price, so why not start a record company or 10? A recording studio, which they called the New York Recording Laboratories, because who had ever heard of Port Washington, was established, and musicians started recording. Paramount's first record was a medley of the Star-Spangled Banner and America, played by the Paramount Military Band, but the earliest recording I have is this, made in America by the Paramount Symphony Orchestra, who are very likely the same people. From there, the floodgates opened, and Paramount released hundreds of popular tunes, quite a few semi-classical numbers, comedy routines, some in blackface and Jewish dialect, Hawaiian tunes, Sousa marches, Irish novelties, Negro spirituals, and not a few marimba orchestra records. In 1920, OK Records released Crazy Blues by Mamie Smith and her Jazz Hounds, a record that was neither blues nor jazz, but both Mamie and her band were black, and even more importantly, the record sold 75,000 copies in 1 month. Paramount was paying attention, and in 1922 announced that it was entering what was known as the race market. Alberta Hunter's recording of Downhearted Blues, probably with UB Blake's orchestra, wasn't the blues hit Paramount was looking for, but the company continued to record Hunter and made her a star. The real event that turned Paramount around was the appearance of a young middle-class black man named J. Mayo Williams, a former NFL player who'd attended Brown University. He just walked into Paramount one day in 1923 and asked if he could have a job. He knew the black music world, or so he said, and they needed someone to supervise their new studio in Chicago. Just like that, he was hired. Williams didn't actually like blues. His background inclined him toward classical music, but he did feel that it was part of his heritage. With complete control over his Chicago studio, he pulled important artists in for sessions.
Want to let me be your tall and tall? You want to be your man and all, you tall and tall, you tall and tall. Oh, honey, babe, let me be your tall and tall. You tall and tall, mama, you tall and tall. There's a thing but the one thing be my mind, all these women and none is mine. You tall and tall, you tall and tall. Why don't you let me be dog. They want to be your man and all. You stalled a dog. Mama, you stalled a dog.
Papa Charlie Jackson is almost forgotten today, but he was a Chicago street performer from New Orleans and recorded dozens of sides, all of which sold well. Williams worked hard, arranging sessions for Ma Rainey, Fletcher Henderson, Ferdinand Lament, better known as Jelly Roll Morton, Ethel Waters, Ida Cox, Alberta Hunter, Freddie Capard, and King Oliver, to name just a few. But two artists he found on the streets of Chicago were important precursors of rock and roll. Nothing is known of Arthur Blake, or Blind Blake, as he's known to the many guitarists who've tried to learn his complex ragtime picking style, but we're lucky that Paramount recorded him as much as they did. And a store in Dallas that was selling Paramount records alerted them to a street singer who always did good business in the black part of town. He was blind and usually had a young kid helping him get around. Paramount paid for him to come to Chicago, and soon he was recording for them.
I got no mama now. Oh, ain't got no mama now. It's over late last night. You don't need no mama no how. Black snake crawling in.
Blind Lemon Jefferson would be a mainstay of the Paramount catalog for as long as the company existed. Many record companies were concentrating on the kind of black music played in the cities, with orchestras and female blues singers, but Paramount, under Mayo Williams, had other ideas. As incredible as their output had been by 1927, when this collection ends, the best was yet to come.
Ed Ward reviewed The Rise and Fall of Paramount Records, Volume 1.